Welcome to the Daily Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University. Following a hymn sung by the student body, BJU President Steve Pettit concludes his discipleship series entitled Encountering God from the Book of Psalms.
Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Psalm 150. We have been working this semester through a study in the Psalms. If this is your first time with us, or if you're watching on live stream this morning, and we have been looking at the theme of encountering God. God gave us His Psalms that we could know Him. The Psalms reveal to us the character of God. Augustine said that it's through the Psalms that his life was reoriented to God, both spiritually and morally. The Psalms are what we turn to in times of sorrow and trial. They're what we turn to when we want to pray or just to have God speak to our heart. How blessed are we to have the book of Psalms? And this morning, we'd like to finish on top of the mountain. Psalm 150 is not a psalm that you sing necessarily in the valley, but you can sing it there, but it's definitely one we sing on top of the mountain. We're on shouting ground this morning. We're going to shout today. We're going to rejoice today. We're going to be happy today, because that's what Psalm 150 is all about. And so let's look at it this morning. I'm going to read it out loud as you read along silently with me this morning. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Would you say praise the Lord with me? Ready? Praise the Lord. Say it with a little more enthusiasm. Ready? Praise the Lord. Can you say with me, Hallelujah. Say it with me.
Hallelujah.
That's good. We're going to make you some shouting people before the day's over with. Amen. The book of Psalms begins with a promise. We saw that. Psalm 1, you remember? Blessed is the man that does what? He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He's like a fruit-bearing tree. It's a promise that if we walk this way, there's blessing. There's a way of blessing. And then we end the psalm with a praise. Praise ye the Lord. So between the first psalm and the last psalm, we are learning about a life that encounters God. And so what does one say at the end of a life that has known God and walked with God? Sometimes I think about, what am I going to think as I'm laying on my deathbed and I'm about to enter into heaven? You ever thought about that? You say, man, I don't think about that. Well, I do. I'm 62. One of these days, if I don't drop dead or get killed in a plane crash or whatever, and I got a few minutes to think about it, I'm going to think about it. What am I going to say? And what we find here at the end of a life that has known God and has walked with God is what? What does he say? He says, praise the Lord. Psalm 150, therefore, is a climactic conclusion of the ultimate end of a life that has encountered God, where everyone and everything is to praise God. We are to be praising people. Man, you ought to be saying praise the Lord throughout the course of the day. And as we look at this final psalm this morning, I'd like us to ask some basic questions that really sets forth a biblical pattern for praise. So let's look at this psalm with these questions. Question number one is, first of all, what does it mean to praise God? Psalm 150 begins with and ends with the same phrase. Notice we read, praise ye the Lord. At the end of it, praise ye the Lord. In the Hebrew, it's one word. What is the word? It's the word hallelujah. Hallelujah is a universal word. Every language says that word. So what does hallelujah mean? Well, it's actually broken down in a couple of words. The first word is the word hallel. And the word hallel is the word praise. The word Yah, J-A-H, is just the shortened form of the word Jehovah. So you can read it this way, hallel you Yah, or you praise the Lord. So what does it mean to hallel? What does it mean to praise? Well, it's like the light that radiates from the sun. So when you look up and you see the glistening glow of the sun, think of the word praise. It's the idea of something shining forth. It's also like cheering or shouting or clapping, like we do at the conclusion of an awesome concert. I don't know if you were at the Korean Children's Choir concert on Friday night. How many of you were there? All right, it was sold out, and so I think we may have had a couple hundred students there. It was awesome. It was so cool. And after each song, you know how it is, and there are 80 children from Korea, okay? And they come out and they sing. Most of the songs they sing are songs we all know. They're all basically Christian songs with a few patriotic songs. And what happened is, it started out is at the end of each song, everybody clapped. But then, man, it started getting gooder. And from the back, we started hearing some shouting. I think it was the Korean students, but it was from the back. They were shouting. And then they started whooping it at the end of each song. And it was like everybody was excited. They loved the songs. Everybody's clapping. People are kind of cheering after each song. And then what was the corker? What killed all of us was that all 80 children came walking out into the audience, and all the Korean children started hugging everybody in the auditorium. I mean, they come up and they hug you and say, God bless you. And it's like, you know, what are you gonna do? Hug them back. And when the concert concluded, people exploded to their feet and they clapped and they shouted. That's what it means to praise. To praise is to extol enthusiastically the greatness of someone or something with words of excellence. I don't know if you're a soccer fan, but if you are, you will know this name, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Zlatan is a 36-year-old soccer player from Sweden who's played on most of the major top-level soccer teams. So he's played for Juventus, AC Milan. He's played for Barcelona, PSG, Paris Saint-Germain from France, from Paris. He played for Manchester United. And at 36-year-old, in the twilight of his career, he started to play for the LA Galaxy. So last week, he landed in Los Angeles on Thursday, and he suited out to play with the Galaxy on Saturday, and they were playing the new LA Football Club. And so I just happened to DVR it. And so I came home after exercising on Saturday last week, and I got there right about the time they let him come in the game. He's huge guy. He's like, I don't know, 6'5", 6'6". He's kind of ripped, muscular. And he's got a tattoo on his back, and it covers his entire back. It's the head of a lion. This guy really likes himself. He really, really does. But he's really good. And he goes into the game, and he's like in the game just a few minutes, and the ball is bouncing out about 40 yards from the goal, and he looks up, and he sees the goalie is out of the box. And he sidekicks the ball from 40 yards out, and it's a screaming shot in the air, and it curves and goes right into the net. Everybody goes bonkers. He rips his shirt off. He's running around, and you can see the big lion on his back. And that ties the game up. It's 3-3. And then in the 90th minute, they get into overtime with a handful of minutes left. And a ball is crossed. And here he comes. And he heads the ball in the corner. And they win. Everybody goes crazy. I go crazy. I'm sitting there on my couch going, this is unbelievable. Laughing and shouting. And Zlatan analyzes his score later on. He says, you go for the kill. The lion is never satisfied. So, I mean, let's be honest. He likes himself, all right? But the people were going crazy, okay? They were praising him. 13 times we read this morning in these 6 verses, we're commanded to do what? To praise the Lord. Praise for a Christian is not an option, it's an obligation. It's not just a duty, though it's a duty, it's a delight. The greatest truth about God is that He is worthy of our praise. The deepest truth about ourselves is that we have been created to praise the Lord. We are made for His glory and praise. So we're to praise God. Then notice the second question, where do we praise God? And the Bible tells us in verse 1, praise God in His sanctuary. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people were commanded by God to praise Him by going up to Jerusalem and worshiping Him in His holy temple or sanctuary. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Now today, the Lord's presence dwells in the body of a believer. 1 Corinthians 3:16. You are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Your own heart is to be a place of praise. But not only that, but the Lord's presence dwells in the assembly of His church, the body of Christ. Listen to Ephesians 2:22. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The church is where the presence of Christ dwells. So we are called to worship God on earth as we meet with His chosen people. So where are we to praise God? First of all, in our own daily personal worship. Every morning, we should be rising to worship God. Even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes, you stop and take a psalm and praise God and worship Him from your heart. And then secondly, we are to worship God weekly in the corporate worship of the New Testament local church. And folks, these are vital for our relationship with God. You take this away and spiritually we shrivel up. So we're to praise God in His sanctuary. Then notice number two, we're to praise Him in the firmament of His power. What does that mean? It means the expanse of heaven. It's us living on this earth and the world and the universe that God has created. All of heaven is a display of God's infinite power and wisdom. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. When my oldest daughter, Becca, who's now 35 years old, was just a little girl, I'd take her outside at night and put her on my shoulders, and we would look up at the stars. And I said, "Becca, who made the stars?" And she said, "Daddy, God made the stars." And I said, "Hallelujah." And she'd say, "Luyah." Praising God. This kind of awesome display means that heaven is also a place of praise. Heaven and earth are to be unified as a choir of praise. Psalm 148, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. So where do we praise God? We're to praise God everywhere. There is no place where His image bearers should not proclaim His praise. You should praise Him on the basketball court. You should praise Him in the classroom. You should praise Him in your car. You should praise Him when you go out to eat. You should praise Him when you go home. You should praise Him on vacation. There is no place where His praise should not be heard. And that leads me to the third thing, and that is, why do we praise God? Notice what he says in verse 2, praise Him, and he gives us a reason for His mighty acts. God's might is displayed, and we're to praise Him. And how does He display His might? Well, of course, we don't have time to speak of all the ways He does that. Obviously, it's impossible. But first of all, we can praise Him for the way He has displayed how He reveals Himself to us. For example, Daniel praised God because he understood that his ability to interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's secret dream was due to God's wisdom and might. Listen to Daniel 2, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." He understood that what he had received was divine revelation. Folks, let me tell you something. We should praise God that He has given to us His complete revelation of Himself in the Word of God. Folks, God has given to us His Word. And if you're a believer, He's given to God your spirit, His spirit, so that you can read the Word and understand the Word and interpret the Word. This book unfolds Jehovah's mind. This voice salutes in accents kind. This fountain has its source on high. This friend will all your needs supply. This letter shows our sins forgiven. This guide conducts us straight to heaven. This charter has been sealed with blood. This volume is the Word of God. How blessed we are. Praise God, we have the Bible. Amen. Man, that's good preaching. Amen. I'll amen myself. We got the Bible. And man, I get to read it every day. And I get to know Him. Praise the Lord. But God's might is displayed not only in the fact that He's revealed Himself, but God's might is displayed in how He rescues His people through prayer. Listen to Psalm 20, verse 6. "Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand." How many of you have ever prayed, God answered your prayer, and He rescued you from a disaster? How many of you have ever been rescued from disasters? Raise your hand. Come on now. Yeah. I finished college 1978. That summer I worked as an intern in a church out in Denver, Colorado. My family were living in south of Denver in a little town called Parker. And when I would drive home to see my parents, I'd have to take these roads in Colorado that were really narrow, and they went up and down in valleys. And one day I was driving home, I may have told you this story, but it was really, really raining. I wasn't really paying attention to how fast I was driving. I was actually singing. And I looked at my speedometer. I was going about 65. It was probably about a 50 mile an hour speed zone. So I put my foot on the brake, and it was raining, and my car began to aquaplane. Literally, the tires sort of just kind of come up off the ground on top of the water. And I began to turn my steering wheel to try to straighten it out, and nothing was happening. The car was just sliding this way. A car was coming towards me, and literally, there was nothing I could do. I'll tell you the truth. I threw my hands up in the air, and I said, "God, save me." My car shot down the bank between a telephone pole and the oncoming car and hit a barbed wire fence and stopped dead. When I looked around, I thought, praise the Lord. I didn't die. Praise God. He rescued me. Most of us have no idea how often God's rescuing us. But we are to praise Him. And what does He say? Succeeding generations are called to praise God for His mighty acts. One generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts. Folks, if we're not praising God, who is? So we are to praise Him for His mighty acts, for what He does. And then secondly, we are to praise God because of who He is. Verse 2, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. The word excellent refers to abundance. Greatness speaks of the magnitude and majesty of God's glorious attributes. God is great in His faithfulness to us. God is great in His mercy. God is great in His righteousness. One of my favorite verses is this, that God's righteousness is as high as the mountains. Kind of awesome. But God's mercy is high as the heavens. Aren't you glad that mercy is higher? Because if we stood before God's righteousness, it is always fearful, standing at Mount Sinai with thunder and lightning and darkness of cloud and fear of the judgment of God. But above the mountains are the shining sun of the mercy of God. God is great. He's great in His wisdom. He's able to give all of us enough wisdom for our daily decisions. O Lord God, Thou hast begun to show Thy servant Thy greatness and Thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to Thy works and according to Thy might? Why do we praise God? Because of what He does and because of who He is. And then number 4, how do we praise God? Verse 4 and 5, praise Him with timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. We're to praise God in this verse here, in times of worship, with music and singing. These two verses describe the various musical instruments that were used by temple worship, by the Levitical priests. And by the way, what is the meaning of the word psalm? The word psalm means a song of praise accompanied by stringed instruments. That's literally the meaning of the name. A psalm is a song of praise to God using a musical accompaniment. And David here tells us the instruments, and these are the instruments that he used in the Levitical choir. First of all, there were wind instruments, such as a trumpet. There was a ram's horn called the shofar. 2 Samuel 6:15, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet, the shofar. The psalm mentions organs, which were piped instruments like a flute or a penny whistle. So anything that blows through the reeds. Then secondly, we are to praise through stringed instruments. The psaltery was a portable instrument like a guitar or a lute with 10 strings. Psalm 33:2, give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to Him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. The psalm also mentions harps. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 16, David was a cunning player on a harp. We know the harp, along with the pipe, are the earliest instruments mentioned in the Bible. Genesis 4:21, Jubal was the father of all those that played the harp and the pipe. And then there's a third category, and that's percussive instruments. The timbrel is like a tambourine, and it's linked to dancing as an expression of joy. And you read in the Old Testament how when they would win a victory, they would rejoice. Jewish people have joyful celebrations. It is said of the Feast of Tabernacles, he that has not seen the joy of tabernacles has never in his life seen joy. The loud cymbals, the high-sounding cymbals, refer to some kind of a either small or loud like we would have in our choir or our orchestras. I think we can say safely that worship in the temple was not always quiet or subdued. Sometimes we're to be still and know that God is the Lord. But other times we are to be celebrative, from reflective to celebrative. Psalm 150 is noisy and loud. I have other things to say. I will forego those and finish with this. Who is to praise God? Last question, who is to praise God? And look at verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. God is to be praised everywhere we are because of everything he is and with everything we have by everyone. You got breath? You breathing? Then praise him. Psalm 150 finishes where we started. A happy man meditates on the word, follows God's way. Through his life, he encounters God through experiences. He grows in the knowledge of God. His days are filled with praise, and he ends his life with a shout. Hallelujah. You've been listening to The Daily Platform. I'm Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University, and I invite you to join us at our beautiful campus in Greenville, South Carolina, to see how you can be prepared academically and spiritually to serve the Lord through one of our more than 100 undergraduate and graduate programs. For more information about Bob Jones University, visit www.bju.edu or call 800-252-6363.